Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 127.
Yeah.
I'm committed to making this episode.
Okay, so now we're back to naming episode numbers.
We are. And this one is called Selling Conversations.
Selling Conversations, being a great conversationalist.
Yep.
By the way, my name is Mark Vila.
And mine's Mark Stevenson.
We skipped over that fun
part.
And
we are both from Coldesi.
Yeah, we are from Coldesi. Yeah. And today we're here to talk about being a good conversationalist and about having selling conversations.
Right.
And I think it's a bit more than that when it really comes down to it, because being a good conversationalist in general, besides selling, is going to make you a better business person.
Yeah, and we, Mark and I know, could probably kind of take this skill set for granted.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've both been in sales pretty much our whole lives of one kind or another. So kind of talking to people is built in.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's natural for us to have those conversations where you meet somebody for the first time and you're immediately looking for points where you connect and commonalities and things like that. Just becomes part of what you do. But I know a lot of people that listen to the podcast, maybe you've been a homemaker that just talked to your kids and your husband for 8 hours for the past 15 years, or you've worked in a factory, or, you just have like a job that doesn't put you in front of new people all the time.
Yeah. Or if you're in front of the folks, that's not the primary, you might've been a plumber or an electrician or an AC repair person or something of that. These are a lot of folks who are our customers out there.
Right.
And even though they found themselves in front of people, it wasn't what they were doing.
Right.
Right. They would show up to meet with a client. You say hello, you do the job that somebody else booked for you.
Yeah.
Right. And then you say goodbye. So this is about meeting people, talking to people. When I grew up, when I was young, I was deathly afraid of talking to people.
Yeah.
Especially if it was like a girl and I was in medical.
Okay.
I've told the story on the podcast before.
Into a biker bar.
Something like that. But my life path turned into, I got a job in a restaurant, kind of in a kitchen, which turned into the front of the house to make more money.
Yep.
Next thing you know, I'm talking to people all day, realizing and learning from other people that the way you talk to people led to repeat customers and better tips, and that turned into sales jobs and so on and so forth. So it is a skill set that I take for granted just because I've been doing it for 3/4 of my life.
Right. So here's what we're going to do during this podcast. During the next little bit, we're going to talk about things that will make you a good conversationalist and then give you some, maybe some Q&A, some the information that you want to get during a selling conversation. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right. And then I think Mark wrote some tips at the end on how to start a conversation.
I did.
So first and foremost, the reason why this is important is every single person from now on, once you start this business, that you meet is a potential customer or a potential link to your next customer.
Right.
And that's every person. Parents you meet at children's birthday parties, people that you meet in the lobby of a hotel waiting to check in. It's literally everybody you meet, because custom apparel is such a wide range of people.
I actually did this exercise for people.
Okay.
Where I will, in a room full of several people, maybe
right.
5 or 10 people, I'll just ask, because I have no shame.
Yeah.
how many of you are interested in custom t-shirts?
Yeah.
And most of them will raise their hand.
Yeah.
So you, whatever room you're in, Mark is absolutely right. I want you to understand that you're in a room full of potential customers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't matter where you are.
And one of the points that I thought about when we were writing this is that you're not, that doesn't mean that you are attempting to sell to everybody at every point in time.
Right.
You're not selling Amway here. Anybody who's met somebody who sells Amway knows it in about 8 seconds
because they try to sell it to you. If you're selling Amway,
yes.
We just want to specify that we're not judging you,
no.
But that neither Mark or myself are interested.
Well, they're starting custom apparel business, so it's not going that well.
Right.
Okay.
Good point.
So So let's just start about having good conversations, what they mean. Here are some tips, some tricks and things. We'll go through that list. Yeah. And then that'll be kind of part one. And then part two is going to be realizing potential customers within those conversations and how to take that to the next step.
Yeah, I like
okay.
that.
Okay. So I'll go first because it's the easy one. just be friendly. Right. Tip number one, the most important thing, talk to people, be nice, be a pleasant person in general.
Yeah.
All right. Say hello.
I think it's an important distinction because a lot of you, you know, think that the way you talk is friendly, mm-hmm. but you almost have to work consciously on sounding friendly.
Yeah.
Because not everyone, you may be a friendly person, but you may not sound friendly when you meet new people. Like you may speak in short sentences.
Yeah.
You know, you may have like a really aggressive approach, you know, that just doesn't sound like.
Or you might be shy.
Yeah.
And you seem unfriendly, even though you are.
Right.
And I've known plenty of people like that in my life where you meet them and you're like, gosh, I don't think that person likes me.
Yeah.
And then the fourth or fifth time meeting them, then all of a sudden they're talking your ear off now that they've opened up.
Yeah.
So
I used to be shy.
Yeah.
I just want to say
that. And I definitely was when I was younger. So be friendly, talk to people. And I think what you mentioned was perfect too. In the beginning, if you don't recognize that you are clearly already very friendly,
right,
then take some extra measures to just step it up. You can add in some key phrases and words like telling somebody it's really nice to meet them.
Yeah.
Just using those words. Hey, it's really great to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm glad I think so-and-so, who's my good friend, is a great person. They're your friend,
you know,
so I'm happy to meet
it's
you.
It's almost like a fake it till you make it kind
of
thing.
Yeah.
So if you focus on sounding friendly, then you will be perceived as being a friendly person.
Yeah, and well, the thing is that you're going, when you tell somebody just something as simple as, hey, I think it's really great to meet you, they are going to like that.
Yeah.
Even if it's just not extremely genuine, but you're just saying those words, they're going to like to hear it and they're going to say, they're probably going to reciprocate it. It's going to feel good. And
right.
you're going to naturally want to do it more and it works.
Agreed. I think that the next two are very closely related.
Okay.
Okay, so your next two bullets are... not talking about you all the time,
mm-hmm.
and actually listening to people.
Yeah.
So what I find is, and I've got one person in mind in particular.
Okay.
What I find is that I can see while I'm talking to someone that they're already well into thinking about what they're going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I'm talking to you about this, if I ask you if we're talking about current events, you know, then... if I'm talking to Mark Vila, I can tell when he's actually tuned out a little bit because he already has a list of things that he wants to say.
Yeah.
So he's just waiting for you to stop before they say. So actually not talking about yourself all the time and actually listening to the people is very close.
Yeah, they're absolutely. So the first one, not talking about you all the time. And I wrote this in the notes because it's true. You've got great stories.
Yeah.
Everybody has great stories because we've all lived on this earth. We got a lot of funny and cool and crazy and interesting things to share.
Yeah.
But you have to let somebody else share their stories too. Because although everybody loves listening and hearing funny stories, everyone loves telling them. So if you want to have a good conversation with people, you've got to make sure that you're accepting stories as much as you're giving them.
Yeah.
And
or actually almost, you know, asking for the stories.
Yeah.
You know, and that comes up a little bit later. But, you know, what I find too is that, you know, picture yourself sitting in an old business presentation
mm-hmm.
where it's a 20-minute presentation and the first 15 minutes are all about the person and the company that's presenting and none of it is about you.
Yeah.
So how quick do you tune out if you're not relating to what's going on? If you've been talking to somebody and all they do is talk about themselves, you're now looking for the opportunity to get out of that conversation.
Yeah, and that's just 100% true. There's a time and a place where somebody should only be talking about themselves and talk like stand-up comedy.
Yeah, good point.
You should
I
not
like
speak
that.
Then. But otherwise, when you're meeting people, don't just talk about you all the time. And I do agree. I would say encourage them to speak. And then when they're talking... you know, hear their stories, give feedback, listen, actually listen to them. Try to get some good stuff out of what they're sharing with you. They're going to notice that and they will like you. right? There are so many times where you can just sit and listen. I remember actually I met somebody recently, a year ago maybe, and went to their house, right? And the one gentleman there talked to me for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He was telling me this big, long, interesting story.
Yep.
And I didn't say a word, I don't think. I sipped on a drink and he was just telling me this whole story. And then when we left, the guy was like, "You are a great guy."
Right.
I didn't say anything. I hardly said anything. Yeah. You know, I said hello. I said it was great to meet him.
Yeah.
And then essentially he started telling me a story. And he liked me a lot because I did listen to him. And I shared in a little bit every once in a while.
That two things are key. My wife is naturally brilliant at this. Like, we went out to dinner on Sunday night. And ended up having a 5 or 10 minute conversation with the waiter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because he said something and she was interested and she did the next thing that the next comment that you put here is she let him know that she was interested by asking a question.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like, "Oh, I can't wait to go home this weekend." "Oh, where's home?"
"Yeah.
Boston." "I love Boston. Tell me more about where you live."
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And that's just, like, you're really, you know, you hear about relationship selling, and you guys know if you're already in business that most of your best customers are repeats.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's because they like you and you ask them questions and all these things happen.
Yeah. So it's great. So don't talk about you. Listen to people.
Yep.
What you just mentioned there, find commonality and expand on that.
Yes.
Is the next one. So if you hear them bring up a particular sport that you're into,
yeah.
or a sports team you're into, or books, or writing, or playing online Call of Duty games, I mean, right. whatever you're in, once they bring up something that you also know a lot about or like, jump on that and talk about that with them.
Yes, and it could be visual too. You could notice that they're wearing a Greg Norman polo,
mm-hmm.
and you could ask, "Do you play golf too?"
Uh-huh.
You know, because they probably do. They could be dressed a certain way. They could have an accent that you mm-hmm. recognize. "Oh, it sounds like you're from Long Island."
Yeah.
You know, "I used to go there all the time." You know, you're looking for whatever. It's just like anything when you meet somebody.
Yeah.
You know, "Oh, like you're at an event and you're there because you're a small business." You know, "Hey, we're both small business people."
Yeah.
You know, "Tell me about yours."
Yeah. And I think what I always picture this commonality as, like, there's like a pyramid of it.
Okay.
Right. And so there's everybody has everything, has certain things in common with everybody, which right. is why the joke is like small talk is about the weather. Because everybody it rained on everybody today, right? And then you tear up. You know, so right. it rained on everybody. We're both at this event together. We're both small businesses together. We're both from the Southeast. You get into conversations that bring you tighter together. And what you want to look for is get to that peak. Like, we both are really into baking. We're both really into noodling, motorcycles,
right.
you know?
So I have a story.
Okay.
So when I was young and I just had my first daughter, I was working at a hotel bar. And a guy named Snake was actually one of my regular customers. Right. He would come in and he was from a local motorcycle club
mm-hmm.
and a rough looking dude.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like a 21-year-old college student. But, you know, we're talking one day and he just mentioned that he had a daughter. And we immediately had this huge, that's why I know his name.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. is we immediately had this point of connection and saw each other in a different light. So we had this basic thing in common.
Because you both had daughters both or had you daughters. Wanted to date his daughter?
No.
Because
he was a young daughter.
Oh, I didn't know how. No, you didn't mention that part. I thought this was maybe how you met your wife.
No, good one though. I like that. But you know, the idea is that even if somebody looks completely different than you and has a completely different background, you're right. You'll be able to find something in common that mm-hmm. you can talk about.
Yeah, and that, like you meant, the daughter one is a really good one. That's somewhere within it's towards the top of the pyramid, because not everyone has children, not everyone has daughters that are young, right? But that's like a gateway to the next level, because you start talking about kids, what are they into? Next thing you talk that they're both really into dance.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about what it's like being a dad, having a dance daughter.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I mean, you've got, it doesn't matter who the person is, you can get towards that, you know, towards that.
Yeah.
And they will like you, especially if again, you're going up the rules here. You're listening to what they're talking about with their hobby or whatever it is. And then you're sharing back ebb and flow and they like you.
And I think like this important, there's an important concept that we didn't do any notes on, and that's the transition point, you know, of where it's appropriate and when you find the connection, where it's appropriate to mention your business.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that transition point is just what you said. By the time you get down to the fact that you know, the person in front of you is a cheer mom, you know, okay, now that's an obvious, I like that so much. That's what I do for a living.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And again, that can come up earlier on, because some of the things we have in regards to conversation starters, just asking somebody what they do. But it's great that you want to be thinking about when they mention they do certain things, where you can come back at them with, you're a small business owner. What do you do? I own, you know, a small bakery. Oh, okay. Actually, I do custom apparel. I do a lot of stuff for small little shops like yours.
That's great. And you're already friends at that.
Yeah. So next one, you go ahead.
Super important. Stay away from controversy.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the easiest thing to talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that will get you the, it's the most fraught kind of conversation to have.
It's really high risk.
Yes.
So the more controversial the issue, there's a potential of 50-50 and more controversial, even less, right? So if you just say, what political party do you like? About 50-50,
right?
You start getting all the way up into higher ends of that or far off, less likely that they're going to agree with you. If they do, it's a win, you're best friends, but there's a 90% chance they don't and they might not like you.
Right.
And this could be anything with current events that are politically charged or motivated. Religion even is something to back off a little bit from. Don't go insulting Protestants because you think they're a Catholic.
Okay,
you know,
good
like,
point.
And
I have a bad habit of guessing people's accents, and I'm wrong about 40% of the time.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm okay. I wouldn't go and try to guess people's religions.
Right.
Okay. I wouldn't do that.
Unless they're, you know, dressed in some kind of esoteric
okay,
religious garb. So, but, you know, we were talking before the podcast about this, and, you know, the appropriate time to do this is if that's what your business is about.
Yeah. Okay.
If you are an anarchist.
Okay.
And you only sell anarchist t-shirts, then lead with your political affiliation.
Yeah, sure.
Because first of all, you don't mind ticking people off.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's kind of part of the goal. And secondly, like that's what your business. If you only sell religious, you know, if part of your religious mission is to get the message out through custom apparel, then you should be very obvious about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're not staying away from a core conversation about you and your business. You're staying away from, you know, the likelihood of picking a fight instead of picking a customer.
Exactly. And especially if your business has nothing to do with any of
this.
Yeah. And by the way, this, I mean, no, politics and religion are the two big things people, you know, forbid at the dinner table, right? But it could just be, don't go and insult a sports team that just lost, because you don't know if they're mega fans.
Right.
So, did you see the game the other day? Yeah. Oh, what'd you think about that? I mean, I don't really care for either teams, you know, but the Jets sucked, you know?
Right.
Then it's okay. Now you can jump into it.
Right.
But if you just say, oh, the Jets were terrible, you don't know that that person's from Jersey and they've been a diehard fan since they were 3 years old.
I mean, honestly, you know? you're going to know if somebody's from Jersey.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. All right. Okay. So, and especially for my friends from New Jersey, make sure that you smile and are very open.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like that. That's kind of the next. That's the next tip. And it goes to not just smiling, but to body language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that that if you're an introvert, if you're in a mixer situation, if you're at a marketing event or a networking event, and you're uncomfortable, you're going to want to naturally cross your arms. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to post up against a wall and cross your arms and legs mm-hmm. and just watch everything. You're going to look, you're projecting that you are not welcoming conversations.
Yeah, you're physically closed.
Yeah.
And it's not because you're shivering and it's cold outside. Right. You know, you're physically closed. You appear closed. It also, if you are feeling this way, it's going to be uncomfortable to sit at the table with your arms,
yeah.
you know, like apart, or with your hands, you know, on your hips.
Right.
But these are positions that you can practice putting yourself in. So you don't appear to be closed off.
And if it really is just a matter of appearances, someone may not look at you and say to themselves, that person doesn't want to be talked to.
Yeah.
But that's the way they're going to feel.
It's a subconscious thing.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing that I wouldn't do is, like, my habit is, like, I will carry something in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of a barrier.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm uncomfortable, I'll be carrying something in front of me. So there's something in between me and the other person. So if you do that, you're actually putting a barrier. Like if you look on the video right now,
yeah.
looking at myself in the camera, like, that is very standoffish.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. And then the smiling thing is so simple, and it's almost, these are all things that almost none of them need to be said,
but
they need to be.
But
smile as much as you can, especially when you meet somebody, just put on the smile. My mom was one of these people that just, like, everybody liked her,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
she had a million friends, everybody, the butcher, the hairdresser, every single person knew who she was.
Right.
And there was a joke that, you know, that she had the Diane Vila smile. That actually turned into a joke.
Nice.
Like, that was a joke.
That. That's great.
And it, because she would just, and she would just say, she's like, sometimes I'm not really happy or in that great of a mood,
yeah.
but I'm going to go get my hair cut. So I put on a big smile because I should be happy that I'm there. And then next thing you know, they see that they're happy. And then I leave and I'm in a better mood than I was before. You know, because you kind of started it.
There you go. Fake it till you make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you started it. So
I love that.
Let's next
we,
is
we kind of already talked
yeah.
about this. Talk in terms of people's interest, and this is kind of a how to win friends and influence people
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old example was, you know, if you are on a sales call and you go into somebody's office, you know, you look around their office to look for those points of commonality. You know, so if they've got a baseball trophy or a picture of their kid or mm-hmm. of a vacation spot. Or, you know, if you walk into Mark Vila's office, he's got pictures of, you know, Ella all
yeah.
over the place and, like, drawings that she did. So, you know, these are all things that you can look at and go, oh, did, you know, do you have a kid that
yeah.
did that for you? It would be creepy if you said no.
And this one, I think what's different about this one and the other ones is this is when you don't have anything in common with them yet. And maybe you're still on the search,
right?
But you notice something obvious that they like,
yeah.
And it's actually can really work in your favor if you know nothing about it. So if you see that they've got a bunch of golf balls in a frame
right.
on a wall, something like that. I don't really know much about golf,
right?
So I don't know much about it, but I see that. I say, oh, do you play golf? Are you into that? Yeah, actually, I just went and I was at Pebble Beach. So, you know,
okay.
Oh, you know what? I don't know much. I've kind of always wanted to pick up the hobby.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me about, what do you love about it? Should I do it?
Yeah.
And they're just,
they're gonna
you
go
will
nuts.
Make people glow with that
go
because
nuts.
They're going to say, like, I've got an opportunity to sell somebody on the most favorite thing in my life and tell them all about why golf is fun and relaxing and great for your mind and all these
right.
and crazy expensive, I'm sure.
And it's perfect. It's perfect. This kind of thing, this kind of, like, looking for people's interest is it doesn't just feel great. Honestly, just,
yeah.
it feels really good when you hit on something and they're excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
It feels good for you. But it's also the business that you're in. People love nothing more to wear their interests, their hobbies, and their emotions
yeah.
mm-hmm. on a custom t-shirt. I mean, fishing shirts
mm-hmm.
and NASCAR shirts
yeah,
and
everywhere.
Boating shirts. And, you know, like, this is what people buy caps with random interests on it you know, that they've never done, but they still think it's cool.
Yeah, so absolutely. So if you, like you mentioned boating, if you see somebody has a picture of them on a boat, ask about it. Yeah. Oh yeah, I own a boat. I've been doing it since I was a kid. You could say, I don't know much about it. I've wanted to, you know, and again, just start with that. What do you like about it? And then eventually it turns into, actually, you know what I've done is I've actually printed somebody's boat on a t-shirt for them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what do you, you know what? And that's what I do for a living. And then now you're letting them know what you do, and that can turn into something.
Transition point. I love that.
So last one.
Last one is up to you because everybody knows.
Sure. be positive. Yeah. So nobody really loves talking to a negative Nancy type of a person. We all have a friend that is that can't be positive, right? We're all a bit of positive and negative.
And her name is Nancy?
Yeah, it could be. Weird. Or it could be Debbie.
Could be.
Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer.
I don't know why they're specifically ladies' names. I was trying to think of a men's one.
Negative Ned.
Negative Ned. I haven't heard that before.
I've never met anybody.
Okay, named Ned, but but it really, it's just you should have positive. You should speak positively. You should find silver linings. If a conversation is going towards something really dark and negative, try to move out of it.
Right.
With something with a positive light, it's going to, you are good. People will feel that about you.
Yeah.
If you're in a small group conversation and everybody is complaining about something to do with the local economy, right? You're in a small business group and four, they're all complaining about local economy. Maybe you can come back with, what are some good ideas when it starts getting busy?
Great.
What can we do? You know, like, let's spitball ideas together, and people will feel that about you. And then they're going to want to come to you.
Honestly, that's what we did with Cold Essie Daily, you know, when things started to shut down, is we tried to look for things that our customers could learn or focus on or do differently, you know, while things were slow.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a negative situation that you try to turn into a positive. But I do also want to do the little qualification here that if there's a difference between negative and serious. So if you're mission, you know, again, is for starting your business is more serious, then you can talk about that.
Yeah, like an autism awareness, you know, charity.
I started this t-shirt company because I printed something for my dad when he was sick.
And, yeah.
You know, so now we've got all this going. So that's serious, but not negative.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be any charity type of work if you're doing like cancer or autism, like I mentioned, where those are serious topics. But again, it's positive because you say, I'm starting this business because a portion of the proceeds are going towards charities.
Yep.
We want to help people. I'm passionate about it. And it makes me feel really good because I'm you know, living the honor out of my father who passed away from cancer. Things like that.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Like that.
Okay. So the bottom line in this one is going to be you're going to build better relationships. And you said this.
Yep.
I just paraphrased it. You're going to build better relationships. Therefore, you're going to build better business relationships.
Yeah. Again, like when you guys know us. If you're in the CAS Facebook group, you know, the team here at Cold Essie is on there pretty frequently. And I get messages from people like we know our customers.
Yeah.
You know, we have good relationships with our customers, and that's, you know, we get our salespeople get referred by their customers on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you should be talking to Anna or Tracy, or you should be talking to Amber, you know, whoever it is, because they're great.
Yeah.
Why are they great? Because you guys had this conversation together. You found out things in common. You came to a conclusion that you would work well together.
Yeah. And then people who are in sales or who are in small businesses like yours that that are involved in selling end up really enjoying it for so many reasons. Because in the beginning, you might be trying to learn and fake it till you make it, but
that
type of stuff. But once you start doing this, then it becomes addictive. Then it's the only way you want to live. Right. Then you go to a little get together and you're like, you want to talk to people.
Yeah.
You want to make new friends. And then it just becomes a part of your life. That's great.
That's true.
So let's move to part two.
Yeah. Part two is really the nuts and the bolts and kind of the things that you want to, you know, if you have a goal going into a conversation, like let's say specifically it's a networking event.
Mm-hmm.
Could be anywhere, but specifically it's a networking event. You know, there are certain things that you would like to accomplish during the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other than just establishing that rapport and making friends, you know, you're going to want to know things like who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't walk away from a conversation knowing that person's name was Steve.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. And because what's going to happen is you're going to be in this just conversation mode, right?
Yeah.
It could be a networking event or a kid's birthday party. You're just in conversation mode and you're doing all these things. You're being friendly and you're talking and you're finding
common
interests. And you're just becoming friends with people. And then they mention something, like you mentioned the cheer stuff,
yep.
You know, or they mention they own a bakery and you could do shirts for them. And at this point in time, something happens and clicks where you say, this is a potential prospect for me. And so at that point in time, I think you want to answer get these questions answered.
That's good.
During this conversation.
It's the transition point,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
So like you said, who they are, you know, so just what do they do? Who are they like? You know, what are they like? Who are they? What's a glimpse of their personality? You know, who are they connected to? Things like that.
Right.
What's the next one here?
Are they a potential customer or a connector? So you said it, you're kind of at a decision point where, you know, I find this hard to believe, but if you've got a very specific niche,
mm-hmm.
And the person in front of you doesn't match that niche, like there's no connection that you can think of, what you can see is, okay, are they a potential customer? Maybe not. Very low probability. But are they a connector?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of an important check mark to make.
Mm-hmm.
So a connector is somebody that knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you guys, you all know somebody like this.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a guy.
Yeah.
You know, go ask Paul about a plumber or an electrician or, you know, anything, because he's always got a guy.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a connector. So you look for somebody that might know a lot of people that you can.
Yeah. So I think that's great. Like that's your master level connectors right there. If you realize somebody knows everybody, then they're a good person to know.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's like a lower level connector. So for example, you're at a kid's birthday party, right? And you're talking with the mom.
Yeah.
And you notice some fishing stuff in the corner and you mentioned fishing and she's like, I don't really like it. I think it's kind of gross. But it's there, right? So then, oh, okay. Oh, that's actually my husband and all of his brothers are really big into it. So at that point in time, you know, maybe he's away. They're away on a fishing trip. He's not even there. She's a great connector for you.
Absolutely.
Because she can connect you with him and his brothers, and they probably have a lot of other people.
Right.
So you're building this relationship for you is good. So when they come back, when they come back from their fishing trip, how was the party today?
Right.
Oh, it was great. Actually, I met somebody who's really cool that makes shirts, and all you guys need to talk to them.
And that's a super place to, you know, you've recognized that transition point where you see the fishing gear, you know it's the husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great time to whip out your business card and just say, look, I do fishing shirts all the time.
Yeah.
If you ever want to put something stupid on a shirt for him,
or
you know,
You
know, share my card. Or, and you know, maybe we can get him something nice.
Really, what I'm curious about is why is he gone fishing during his kid's birthday party?
I know.
I'll imagine that there's like a really extenuating circumstance. Like it was planned, and then this is the second party for the kid with all the annoying school friends.
It could just be he is very much into noodling.
And
you know,
prime
guys,
season.
They're not going to miss a noodling event.
All right, great. So
what do you want to know? What do you want to get? You want to get their contact information, right?
Yep.
That's a big checkbox. So, you know, you want to find out who they are, not just as a cardboard cutout. You know, you're finding out who they are as a person. You're finding out their name and their interests in the first part. Then in the second point, you're figuring out whether or not they're a potential customer or if they're a potential connector.
Mm-hmm.
And this third is you've got to get their contact info.
Yeah. And anything works, I think. Phone number, social media, email address, a business card.
Yep.
Even if a location of their business can even work.
Right.
You know, that industrial park that's just right by the 7-Eleven down the road, you know, there. Yeah, I'm like the third door down in there, you know, Joe's Plumbing. And knowing that, is going to be able to, you can reach them again next time.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's the biggest deal. So,
and yeah. I would even set it up at that point. If it's during the conversation mm-hmm. and you collect their contact information with purpose, like, oh, tell me about your business. Cool. Can I get a card? Okay, great. Listen, I'm going to send you an email.
Yeah.
So just look for it. It's going to come from mark@colbesse.com.
Yeah, exactly. And we have that on the list that transitions perfectly yeah. into that. How will you be in touch again?
Right.
You know, so if at this point in time you're realizing all these things are checking together, you get their contact information, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and I'll Facebook message you those pictures I was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I'll email you this information. I'm going to be in that office complex you talked about next week. I'll come by and say hi to you and I'll bring by some shirts. You can check them out.
Cool.
You know, always establish somehow how you're going to reach out to them later.
Yes.
Even if this is still a really, really mild, you're not even sure if this is a good meeting, not, you can always just say, something like, oh yeah, you know what? I'll follow you on Instagram. I thought that was pretty cool. And you know, one day maybe I'll shoot you a message if I see something interesting about that has to do with your business. And usually you can leave it open if you're not sure, but you need to make sure that they understand where it's going.
Listen, if the person that you're in front of shows you anything from their social media on their phone, like, oh, phishing, let me show you what I caught.
Yeah.
Then that's awesome. Is that your Instagram account? Let mm-hmm. me follow you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then you're immediately.
Yeah. Connected. And then so you want to be connected at them. And there's two more things on the list,
yeah.
Which are kind of, they're like some things we spoke about earlier, but they're important to really note
yeah.
Physically, like writing it on their card,
yep.
or if you're just getting their contact information on your phone, there is notes in the contacts.
Right.
All phones now under contacts, there's a note section, write this stuff in there.
Yep.
So what are you going to remember them by? If you're meeting a lot of people, you need to really have specific ways to remember each person.
Yeah. So one thing that I do is, and I don't sell a lot anymore, mm-hmm. but you know, if I meet somebody that I want to call for, you know, as a plumber or, you know, as a bug guy or something like that, that's how I put them in the phone. You know, I would put in, so if I were talking to this guy at this marketing event, I would put Steve, the fishing guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly,
you know,
that.
Something like that.
It'll trigger.
That's his name. And that's the way it would come up on my phone if he called.
That is for you to yeah. trigger all the memories back from this nice conversation you
yes.
had. And actually, it reminds me in the show The Office.
Okay.
So Michael Scott, who is the manager, if you haven't seen the show, he's a manager and a salesperson of a paper company. And one of the ways he does, he has this weird way of remembering names, which is kind of like this.
Okay.
So he'll say like, but it's terrible. So it'll be like, big nose. I like the smell of pizza. I like pepperoni, Peter. And that's how he remembers people's names.
Okay.
And it's an exaggeration of this concept, though.
No,
because that's
I
a real
it.
Concept that they exaggerated. So I probably wouldn't write big nose.
Anywhere. ever.
But ever. You could write like Italian.
You could, which is so racist. Luckily, we're both
Italian,
yeah.
So we're good there. Okay, and then the next one is in what do you have in common? Note this.
Yeah.
Remember it. So, like you said, the fishing one is good because they like fishing.
Yeah.
But I would also make sure to note the things you had in common. So you can write the fishing guy who also likes Mustangs,
right.
because you like sure. Mustangs as well. So if you put both these things in there, you'll remember what they like. You'll also remember what you have in common that you can bring up both of these yeah. things later.
And honestly, if you really want to go pro, just look for our episode about CRMs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
About keeping track of customers. And that is kind of the ultimate tracking for all of these connections.
Yeah, which reminds me of an office thing again. I'll say he had an old Rolodex.
Oh yeah.
Right? And again, his notes were terrible because the jokes are all an exaggeration, but he would put, you know, like wife. And then somebody steals his Rolodex and attempts to go through it and says, how's your wife? Well, he's divorced. The note was written in red. Red means don't bring up wife. So that's now awesome. this person who stole his notes is not getting any of the sales because they're reading the notes wrong. But it's an exaggeration on that, but also a lesson to make sure that you make notes that make sense.
Yeah.
True. Okay, so Lass, you wrote some great tips to start conversations.
Yeah, so mostly for networking events, although you can adapt them to phone conversations. Mm-hmm. Because remember, you've got to do this almost as much as on the phone during initial conversations as you do in person. We've talked a lot about in-person events, but all of these things should be carried out in your first phone conversation, too, if you can.
And really, especially on the phone, I think these are amplified.
Yeah.
Because in person, there's an awkwardness of getting away.
Right.
But on the phone, it's so easy to disconnect that. I got another call coming in.
Gotta go.
So it's important to build all this together.
Okay. So if you are at an event and you are looking for something normal to start a conversation that you would hear at an event, you know, you might ask, hey, what's your connection to the event?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we would get that, like, we go to events like Social Fresh and we go to trade shows and things like that. And, you know, it could be, what's your connection to the event? So, you know, have you been to this event before?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing is a great conversation.
And that works for anything, right? That works for the kids' birthday parties. It works for weddings. Yeah. It works for, you know, like, how are you here?
Tommy?
They go to the same school together. There my son, go. You know,
and then you're starting to make friends.
Yeah. What the next one you have here, what keeps you busy when you're not at events like this or at work?
Yeah. So, I mean, naturally you're going to put this in a more casual phrase.
Okay.
Right. You could just ask, what do you do when you're not eventing?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do when you're not doing this?
Yeah. And really, because you're asking, it's another way of saying, what are your hobbies?
Right.
You know, what do you do for fun?
But that's weird.
Yeah, well, that's
ask you what your
that's
hobby is.
Almost like this dating normal, talk, yeah, right? Like, right. You know, what do you do for fun? But yeah, say, what do you do when you're not, you know, what do you do when you're not going to Social Fresh, like you mentioned?
Right.
You know, how did you come into your line at work? I like that one.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
Asking them to tell a story.
There's definitely a story there. How did you? So, I mean, I'm fascinated. How did you get to be a lion tamer?
Yeah, I would like to know that one. Like or tigers
or
Tiger King.
We're not going to talk watch about it? That. No, not gonna.
There's a lot of people shunning you right now. Listening to this. All right. And last one. You had one more.
Yeah.
Simple one.
How did you hear about the event? Yeah. So I mean, these are things that you can ask. I mean, there's also all kinds of things that you can comment on that might start a conversation. If you are at a networking event, there's always food. There's always drink. You could say, how are the carrots?
Yeah.
You know, is that Coke or rum and Coke?
Yeah.
You know, I tried that wine. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know,
those are all great. I think if you sometimes, especially folks who are newer to this, they will freeze up and not be able to think of any of those things.
Yeah.
So go with like, write down your three or four kind of go-tos that you can ask literally anybody anywhere that you've just met.
Yes.
And just fall back on these. So a lot of them that you hear, and you can hear when people aren't as comfortable getting to know people.
Yes.
Are you from this area?
Yeah, sure.
You know, are you from this area?
Yeah.
You know, did you grow up around here? Are you a natural Floridian, or did you come from somewhere else?
If you're at Social Fresh, it could be, what kind of craft beer do you prefer?
So I think it's great to have a few go-tos that maybe aren't weather-related.
Yeah.
But you know what? Talk about the weather if you can't find anything, I would say. You know, if you can't, but you're always, as you're talking, think of all the things you learned in this. Think of your go-to questions, ask that. And then the last tip I would have is all of these questions that you put, they're all open-ended questions.
Yeah.
And that's on purpose, I'm sure, without even you thinking about
it. Yeah.
You know, meaning that they're not yes or no or one-word answers. They require them to participate in the conversation.
Right.
And while they're talking and you're listening, you'll get light bulbs in your head about the next thing to talk about, and it'll go really great.
Yeah, it turns out to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know, you go, you meet a half dozen interesting people. It's
yeah, and fun. I find myself still, and we've talked about it on here before, when you go to events where you feel frozen.
Yeah.
You know, you're not sure who to talk to, where to talk to. And then eventually, as you relax for a minute, right, then something just pops up. You say something and you'll be surprised in how quickly you got a new friend, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that mostly happens when they're serving chin and tongue.
Yes, that helps out a lot.
All right. I think this has been a useful episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. And I hope that the next time that you are in a situation where you have any opportunity to make a connection to other people, you will think about starting a selling conversation by just starting a regular conversation.
Yeah, I think that's great. And the exercise you can do immediately right after this is to think of your own conversation starter questions. Take marks and write down a few of your own. Have those handy and around with you. And honestly, you could stick them in your wallet or purse. And then when you're frozen at an event, go into the bathroom, open it up. Refreshed yourself and then put it back and you've got your little cliff notes.
Or just remember this one, because, and I know that one of our listeners will appreciate this because she actually said her husband or brother was into it, is you could ask anyone, have you ever heard of noodling?
Okay.
And it will inspire a fascinating conversation, 100%. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. This has been Mark Stevenson.
And Mark Vila.
You guys have an amazing business. Woo!